This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm shook. I'm flustered. It's fine. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. That's all that matters.
It's Thursday.
Right now. It's a Thursday. That's the best day of the week. We got something else we got to do here because it's a cause for celebration.
Oh.
I'm not sure if everybody saw this yesterday, but I am so thrilled because we've done it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Herter will no longer be wearing a headband this season.
We are the champions.
We've done it!
My friend.
We've been saying that for Kevin Herter to turn his season and perhaps his life around, he had to lose the stupid headband. It never looked good. It's a funny little bit. I get it. It's bad. It wasn't good. And that's the reason he wasn't good last year. But he said yesterday that he is losing the headband. It's gone for the season. Kevin Herter has never been more back, baby. Of the world. We've done it. Kevin Herter, the headband is gone. Kevin Herter is back. I don't think there's any reason to believe he can't shoot 44-45% from three this year.
I had no idea.
I'm so fired up.
I had no idea we're going to go this way to open the show, but I'm here for it.
It's pretty clear. Right at the top. It says Kevin Herter, no longer wearing a headband.
You did. You wrote
with
it on
an
the paper.
Exclamation point.
You wrote it on
I'm
the paper.
I'm so fired up about this. I have been, if you the frequent listeners to the show, the loyal listeners to the show will understand that I have been banging this drum for a year now.
Yeah, you're anti-headband.
I am not for everybody, but for Kevin Herter specifically. Like, yeah, lose the headband, dog. It was such a clear, because I'm a superstitious guy.
Yeah.
I'm not superstitious. I'm superstitious. And so for me, I look at Kevin Herter struggling last year, and I'm like, hey, the easy fix here is lose the headband for a few games.
Mm.
Like, you got to shift the mojo.
Yeah,
that's
totally
an
agree.
Easy. You can change the socks. You can change. You wear the leggings, or maybe you go no leggings or whatever. Maybe you go shooting sleeve. I don't know. Easy change. Just drop the headband.
I think there are
and
points.
He refused.
There is a point where he tried to mix it up, like the white headband and then the black headband. Sometimes the purple headband.
Should have gone no headband.
Like trying to like figure it out. I don't know. Maybe he's a big sweat guy. I don't know. Like there are reasons people wear headbands. I'm not a headband guy.
I am not anti-headband.
Okay.
I am a bald man. When I exercise, I got to throw something on or I'm sitting there with a towel because there's nothing to catch the sweat.
Yep.
I am not anti-headband for everybody. For Kevin Herter, very specifically, I never thought it was a great look, but okay, maybe it's not a fashion thing. Okay, that's fine. But ditch it for a game and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it goes horribly. And you go, okay, at halftime, I'm going to put the headband back on. Okay, I just wanted to see him try it. Just give it a little sprinkle. And all now right. He is. I'm so thrilled for him. I'm so thrilled for Kevin Herter. He's so back. I need to start him now.
I love it.
Get him 15 shots a game. Can Kevin Herter score 20 a night? I think he can.
I think he can.
Is Kevin Herter an all-star? Maybe. I'm so fired up. You know, I legitimately yesterday, I retweeted old tweets of me saying he needed to get rid of the headband. I feel so vindicated right now. I know he doesn't listen to the show, but if he did, like part of me in my head canon, he was like, you know what? This year, Kyle's right.
That's right.
I'm ditching the headband.
I'm following what Kyle's lead on this
one. I think that's what it is.
Hey, look, I think you got to mix it up at some point. And you got to figure out what, you know, whatever it is that you need to do to get right.
Yeah.
He needs to try.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was my point last year.
Look at De'Aaron Fox. Like his look, his entire look.
It's crazy.
Was like the Dragon Ball Z look coming into the league for, mm-hmm. for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Gone.
Gone.
Now he's a dad.
Yep.
Now he's a, you know.
Now he's an adult.
He is an adult. No, it's very.
He's a distinguished person.
We had that discussion a little bit like on Media Day, just how weird it was that this is mm-hmm. his eighth season in the league.
A lot changes in 8 years.
Eighth season with the Sacramento Kings that he came into the league as like a 19-year-old. I don't know. It's wild. So absolutely crazy. When he started with the Kings, my oldest was like 13.
Yeah.
Now we can drink at a bar.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. Sports years are so weird.
Yeah. I agree.
Like a 27-year-old. I run into a 27-year-old now and I'm like, oh, you're a baby. I go, you have some... I hear an NFL player is turning 27. It's like, oh my gosh. How many more years he got left?
And the funny, De'Aaron will be 27 in December. Where we can't, you know.
Oh, he's got, okay, he's 26.
Yeah, he's 26.
That's so wild, man. In my brain, every player is 26 when they enter the league.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's just, you kind of enter the league, but like, no, these are ostensibly children entering the NBA. That's so nuts. Anyways. Let's stick on Kevin Herter, but for real.
Okay.
Even though the headband thing is definitely like a, it's kind of a joke, but not really.
Okay.
Because as a superstitious person, I genuinely believed that was a move he should make. And now he's done it. So, Mike Brown talked a little bit about Kevin Herter yesterday.
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Did he mention the headband?
He didn't mention the headband, but, you know, I asked him a question yesterday because, like, look, we really focused on the Keon Ellis situation the day before, and, in all honesty, if we're going to ask a bunch of questions about Keon Ellis, we should probably be asking a bunch of questions about Kevin Herter as well, and I thought it was funny. Mike brought up that he's got, like, the red, like, penny on. He's
the no-contact jersey.
Yeah, the no-contact jersey. He compared him to Brock Purdy. And then what was his line about Brock Purdy?
He said that this year he's making more than Brock Purdy, but he won't next year.
Yes, exactly.
Unless Kevin Herter becomes a $60-plus million-a-year player overnight.
There it is. And I think people, like, if you don't know this, Mike Brown's son is on Kyle Shanahan's staff.
Yes, correct.
He is, last year he was a quality control manager or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what he is this year, but he's a football coach. And he's working with the 49ers. And then Mike Brown's other son is on a staff in Sacramento.
On a coaching staff?
Yeah.
What staff?
He's on Mike's younger...
On...
In Sacramento, yeah.
The King's staff. Okay.
He's on the King's staff.
I thought we were still talking about football. It's like, he's on Sac State staff?
No. He's on the King's staff.
Got it. Okay. Cameron Brown, he's a defensive QC, a defensive quality control.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... Yeah, we had this this funny moment where whatever keeps happening here, Malik Monk keeps getting the practice schedule, and then
hilarious,
and then like calling out the drills before Mike can call out the drills, and then telling coach like, hey, you know, practice is over. Like the schedule says the practice is over.
Yeah,
and we're still here. Why is practice not over?
Hilarious.
So it's a running bit that Malik Monk has been doing the first couple of days of camp. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a lot of fun, but then I had to inform Mike that clearly, I said, did you hide the practice sheet from Malik today? And he said, no, well, somehow he got his hands on it. And I said, well, clearly, Mike, you have a mole. And
facts.
Mike's looking around, he's like, I think I do have a mole. And then, of course, Mike's son is on the court, and I he yells over to his son about something. And I said, Mike, did you consider that your son's a mole? And he's like, oh, no. It, like, there's a possibility that his son is the mole.
Throwing dad under the bus.
Who is giving Malik Monk the practice schedule every day to call him out.
Drama. I need a behind the scenes. I need the Kings video team to get on this and make it a whole thing.
It would
this
be
is
fun.
Great. This is a great bit.
It would be a fun bit to like have like try and find out who the mole is and you know.
What Mike needs to do is instead of hide the practice schedule, have dummy practice schedules.
Oh, yes. Yes.
One that goes until like 9 p.m.
Yes.
Like, just we're like running a
super elongated schedule, like 14 hours of film. Yeah. And then
6 minutes on the court.
He needs to send like Jay Triano to hide behind like ficuses in the office and try to find out who is making an extra copy of the practice schedule. Like this could be a whole bit.
Yeah, you could have Mike could have it on his phone and then he could just start, okay, hey, this coach is going to get schedule A, this coach is going to get schedule B. So if Malik looks at the schedule and says, hey, this is the drill, Mike knows, okay, let's see, that's schedule C. All right, Jay Triano is my mole.
That's right. Mm. We've got this thing figured out, Kyle.
We're basically in the FBI.
That's right.
Shout out to us.
To get back to the question at hand.
The insiders, we're the feds.
Kevin Huerter is doing much better. He's running, he's practicing. He just can't have any contact at all. So he doesn't get to do the scrimmages. He doesn't get to do, I mean, like when they're doing walkthroughs and they're teaching their offensive and defensive sets, Kevin Huerter's like there with everybody else.
Can you tell when he's moving around and he's doing whatever basketball things he can do, can you tell that he's limited?
No.
Or is he doing everything? It's just literally like, hey, that shoulder might come out if he's hit wrong.
No, I think, well, first of all, that's always the worry, right? That you'll damage the surgically repaired area that it's not fully healed.
Right.
But it's really close. Like he's going to get cleared like any day,
right?
From the doctor, and then the team has to clear him, and then he has to go through the ramp up process and all that. So it'll be a little while here, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks before I think he'll be on the floor getting, like being part of full contact. But the fact is like, he's not falling behind. He is knowing what they're doing. He understands the changes that are happening in the offense and the defense and how, you know, the tweaks that they're doing this season versus last. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely think that there's a progression here that we're going to see from Kevin pretty quickly. And then Mike, you know, he talked about it. Like there are things that Keon Ellis does on a court that Kevin Huerter can do. Like defensively, there's just like,
night and day.
Yeah, they're diametrically opposed players, right? So you have one player who, you know, is a catch and shoot 3-point specialist. Another one is a 3-point specialist that runs all over the court, and you kind of need both. And so I don't think it's a bad thing to have like a competition here between these guys, and I certainly don't think it's a bad thing that that Keon Ellis is getting an early look here, because I do think like defensively, he's the guy that can really be a game changer for you. But I also don't want to discredit who and what Kevin Huerter has been and what he is as a player, because you know, the other guy that runs like he does in the league is Steph. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that's always moving and in constant motion. Kevin Huerter probably runs more than anyone else on the team. And I don't even think it's close. And what that does is it moves the defense at all times, and it's the defense is constantly shifting. And Kevin Huerter has a track record as a great 3-point shooter, so you can't leave him open. So again, I think that there's going to come a point where we're going to understand fully that the Kings are a better team with Kevin Huerter on it than without.
Definitely.
And people like there can be disappointment in what happened last year and the season that he had, but at the same time you can't lose sight of like who the player is at his core. And if you get him in the right frame of mind and you get him working the right way and put him in positions to succeed, that he's proven that he can do it, which we saw over the last 2 years where I did the numbers. I think the Kings are 78 and 56 with Kevin Huerter as a starter, and he's super important.
Yeah.
He just is.
Yeah. I do wonder, though, with the whole competition thing, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, just with his timeline, I don't know that the competition is going to get solved in training camp. I mean, if he's not participating fully in camp, how is he going to be able to credibly compete for a starting spot unless the Kings just kind of know, hey, we know what he can do and what he can't do, and it's up to Keon to kind of win the spot or maintain hold of the spot.
Well, and I think the problem you have if you're Keon Ellis too is that to win the spot, it's not like you're going to go out and put up 12 points a game or 15 points a game. You know, that's not what's going to happen. That's mm-hmm. not who Keon Ellis is. So if Keon Ellis does win the spot coming out of camp, the only thing that you can really look at Keon Ellis's like impact, you can look at defensive rating, you can look at his 3-point percentage. You can't really be too tough on him because, you know, what's he going to get, 3 or 4 attempts per game? So we can't sit there and judge him and say, hey, man, like, we need you to average more than 7 points per game. And it's like,
right.
Well, how am I supposed to average more than 7 points per game when you've got, you know, DeMar DeRozan and sure. Sabonis and, mm-hmm. and everyone else? I don't think your mic's on.
Nope, it's definitely not.
Yeah, thanks. So, like, I think the way that Keon Ellis will be judged is very specific. It's going to be wins and losses. And I think that that's something that Kevin Herter has the inability to walk on the court and score 15 or 18 a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he will likely be judged by more on his 3-point percentage and more on his, like, his raw numbers than a guy like Keon Ellis would be. So Keon, he has every motivation to come out of the game and come out of the gate and really push his team defensively and to get wins.
Yeah.
And that's, it's just kind of an interesting dynamic between these two.
Yeah, it's also an interesting dynamic with Mike Brown, because we talked about this yesterday, but it's like Keon Ellis very obviously is the type of player that Mike Brown loves.
Mm-hmm.
And the defensive intensity when he's on the court gets ratcheted up to the place that Mike Brown probably would like it to be. But on the other hand, there's all this stuff we've just talked about with Kevin Herter and how he just fundamentally changes the way their offense operates, or the not the way their offense operates, but the threats that their offense poses
and the flow of their offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be something that's interesting to watch throughout the year, because I don't think that if Keon Ellis wins the start, I'm expecting Keon Ellis to be the starting shooting guard on night one.
So am I.
But if that's the case, I don't necessarily think that means that he's a lock to start 82 games or as many games as he's healthy.
No.
Like, I could absolutely see, yeah, hey, the Kings are 4-6 after 10 games, and man, their offense has just kind of been a little bogged down at times, and hey, look, here's Kevin Herter into the starting lineup to see if they can spark it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's interesting. When we were prepping for the show, we kind of went through, like, you know, again, last year the Kings were 34-25 in games that Kevin Herter started.
Mm-hmm.
And the stark contrast between what Kevin Herter looked like in wins and what mm-hmm. he looked like in losses,
it's crazy.
It tells you exactly how important Kevin Herter is to this team. In their wins, he shot 39% from three. In the losses, he shot 31.9. His field goal percentage was 45.5 in wins, 42.6 in losses. But Kyle, it gets worse. Like, his free throw percentage is 7% higher in wins, which tells you that like, it's like he's a 72% shooter from the free throw line in losses and a 79.3 in wins. And then the offensive and defensive ratings. So his offensive rating in wins is 120. His defensive rating is a 113. So mm-hmm. in wins, Kevin Herter is a plus 12.4. Like, that's incredible. Like, yeah, he's a
really good player,
top tier player. In the losses, Kevin Herter's offensive rating was 105, which is atrocious. Mm-hmm. But he also allowed his offense to dictate his defense. His defense rating drops from a 113 to a 127. And so he's a negative 11.4 in losses. So his difference between wins and losses, he's a 105 to a 120. Well, I'm just going off of what Basketball Reference has.
Got it. Okay.
They're saying he's a negative 11.4.
Got it.
So the difference between him as a starter at 12.4 and him in wins and him in losses, we're literally looking at like a 23.8% difference in player.
Jeez.
In plus minus, in like net plus minus.
That's insane. It's just wild. That's
and
ridiculous.
He plays the same exact amount of minutes, 24.2, 24.6, 10.7 points, 9.6 points in losses.
It's just the efficiency.
It's just the efficiency.
Huh.
And so really, you can see how, you know, the three-point shooting really does impact him. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's not hitting his shots, it gets in his head, and then he's just not effective at overall, mm-hmm. and teams start to pick on him.
I kind of wonder, too, if he gets cooked defensively on the first three possessions of the game, if he's in the back of his mind going, oh, my God, I'm going to get pulled. Like,
or, oh, my gosh, I have to make it up on the other other side of the ball.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to watch all year, man.
Yeah.
And we talked about his trade value yesterday as well, how that kind of plays into it.
Yeah.
And how, because, I mean, Kevin Huerter could, they could play him 0 minutes, and there are still teams who are going to value Kevin Huerter at the trade deadline. But if he's having a good year and the Kings need a spark or need to make a move in February ahead of the deadline,
yeah,
having Kevin Huerter maximize his trade value would be helpful for sure.
No, I think so too. But at the same time, like, I think the Kings could be a really, really powerful team with Kevin Huerter in one of the two roles.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Why not? If Kevin Huerter is one of your top six, seven, eight players,
mm-hmm.
then this team, and that doesn't mean he's got to be a starter. Doesn't mean he's got to be on the bench. Whatever. However this shakes out, a healthy Kevin Huerter, a Kevin Huerter who is impactful and hitting his shots is better for the Kings than not having a Kevin Huerter on your roster.
And yes. But also, I don't want to get super far into the weeds. It's semantics, but we talked about it yesterday. He's making $17 million. If the Kings are looking at their team at the deadline and going, man, you know what? Hey, we need to get a little bit better. That's the contract that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the contract that yields you the player. It's the contract that makes it so you don't have to gut your team to make a trade.
Yes. And this is what we're asking of Kevin Huerter. And then I want to move on to something else real quick. But 38.5. This is their 3-point percentages by year. 38.5, 380, 36.3, 38.9, 40.2. That was the 22-23 year. And then last year down to 36.1. Not even asking him to get back up to 40%.
Yeah, 38.
He's a career 38.2% shooter. If he's doing that, they're set. Like, mm-hmm. they're fine. That's all they need. They just need him to not be susceptible to being ice cold for stretches as he was last year.
Yeah, it can't be feast or famine. He's got to level it out. So if you're gonna be slightly erratic as a 3-point shooter, you got to be slightly erratic within a game, not within weeks.
Yeah,
not within days. You know.
Yeah. Yep, I'm right there with you. All right, I want to talk real quick about the Thursday night football game tonight,
mm-hmm.
Because I want to relate it to the Kings a little bit. The Buccaneers play the Falcons on Thursday night football tonight. We've also got a little baseball to get to here. But the Bucs play the Falcons tonight. Remove the Carolina Panthers. Every NFC South team reminds me of the Kings.
Yeah.
Because I look at every single NFC South team and I go, probably not winning a title, but I don't think I want smoke with that team in the playoffs. Like, could that team just kind of win 13 games and be a 2-seed and get a couple of home games and make a little run?
Yeah.
You could talk me into that with the Saints. You could talk me into that with the Bucks. You could talk me into that with the Falcons. Like, I'm just, and when I was looking at this game today, because I wrote out some King stuff first and I was looking at this game, I was like, man, Tampa Bay and Atlanta, I feel the same about them and the Saints. And I feel about them the way I feel about the Kings.
Yeah. I think what it is you're looking at teams that they aren't the top tier and there's potential for them to, like, somehow find the top tier.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectations are they're going to be really good teams, just, you know, like in a grouping,
yeah,
you know, around the 10 and 7, 11 and 6 mark.
Right.
So those are teams in the NBA that are around the 47 to 51 win mark.
Right.
Like, and then there's a tier above that.
Yeah.
And the teams that you are considering contenders, which, again, in the NFC, like, I think there's only really Minnesota is playing as well as anyone. Detroit is the next in the 49ers, I think, are still
mm-hmm.
that next tier. And then there's a bunch of teams that are kind of around that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, the Cowboys, if they can put things together, the Eagles, if they can put things together, the Commanders, if they can prove that they are, you know, this juggernaut that the Daniels is the guy. But yeah, I'm with you. And I keep finding that, like, anytime you're seeing the Bucs, the Falcons, the Saints in a game, like on a Thursday night or a Monday night or whatever.
Yeah.
It's usually a game you're like, you know what? That game is way more interesting than,
yes,
than I think it,
yes,
should be.
Yes. I'm locking into this game tonight.
Yeah. I want to watch the game.
I'm going to be dialed.
Yeah. Like every single time you're like, hey, I do believe that I want to watch that game.
We'll talk a little bit more. You were mentioning some of the playoff teams in the NFC. I want to go through that a little deeper, a little bit later on in the show. Before we move back to the Kings, shout out to the Detroit Tigers, dude.
Mm.
A big shout out, not only for knocking off the Astros, which is awesome. The Detroit Tigers, if you didn't follow, were 52-50. This is the team that if you don't follow baseball and you want to root for a team in the playoffs, root for the Tigers.
Okay.
They were 52-57 at the trade deadline.
Mm.
They decided to be sellers at the trade deadline. Andrew Chafin, their best reliever, gone. A's legend. Jack Flaherty, their second best starter behind Tarek Skubal, gone. Traded him to the Dodgers. Mark Canha, outfielder, A's legend, gone. Carson Kelly, catcher, gone. Just traded guys away. They brought 8 prospects back. Scott Harris, their GM, had a whole discussion, had a whole press conference about how they feel really good about the team moving forward and this and that. And, you know, the general GM stuff after they sell off a bunch of assets.
Lip service.
Right. And there was all this talk they were going to trade Skubal, who's like going to win the Cy Young this year in the AL. Didn't do it. They again, 52-57 at the deadline. They finished the year 34-19 to sneak into the playoffs. And then in the wild card round in Houston, who had been scorching hot for most of the second half of the year, complete the sweep of the Astros last night. They're moving on to the American League Division Series where they would take on the Cleveland Guardians. Shout out to the Tigers, man. That's awesome.
I think it is awesome. I think, you know, again, when we were looking at the list yesterday, like Tigers, Astros, Kansas City, Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
Mets, Brewers, Braves, Padres, it felt like we're in the 1980s.
Yeah.
It totally did. Like, yeah, all of these teams were like powerhouses in the 80s.
Yeah.
And now they're back, like, you know, 35 years later. And I like a good story in Major League Baseball. And I also can't stand the Astros.
Yeah.
And so, yep, anytime the Astros are losing,
yep,
I am here
down
for it.
Yeah, man. And baseball is great because a team can just get hot in October and be really hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers are far and away the least talented team in the playoffs, and it's just, it may not matter. And that's why this is so much fun. There's one game 3 in the wild card round tonight. The wild card series are best of 3. The Padres finished off a sweep of the Braves last night. The Tigers, we just mentioned, finished off the sweep of the Astros. And the Royals beat the Orioles, and they will take on the Yankees in the American League Division Series. One game 3, and that's Mets at Brewers, 4:00 tonight. It is a win or go home game. That series has been a ton of fun, a lot of back and forth. So make sure to tap into that right here on ESPN 1320. The Mets at the Brewers with a trip to the National League Division Series on the line. Baseball, man.
Baseball.
Hell yeah. Love playoff baseball. All right. I also love talking Kings. We're going to continue doing that. You mentioned the NFC and the Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. I want to dive into that a little bit further. We'll continue doing that. We have a Devontae Adams trade update for you as well coming up. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out till noon right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Just want to remind everyone, we're hanging out with you live every day right here on ESPN 1320 from 10 a.m. to noon. We're here every single day. And if you can't listen for all 2 hours, it's totally understand. Totally get it. You can subscribe to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast. It is the podcast version of this show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. It's called the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. It's this exact same program, which is called The Insiders. They just couldn't call the podcast The Insiders for reasons that made my eyes glaze over and my brain melt out of my ears.
It's like when you go to Costco and you go to buy the Costco version of vodka, which is actually made by like Grey Goose or someone.
Sky, right?
Is it? I don't know. There's all kinds
of rumors. I used to know the answer to that, but anyways, go on.
That's what it's like. It's the same thing. It's just in a different package.
Yeah, exactly. If you would like to listen to the Kirkland brand version of this show. That used to be a thing I would hear people say as like a Kirk Cousins is Kirkland brand, you know, pick a good quarterback.
Oh.
And I'd be like, hey, like you're trying to insult that person by comparing them to Kirkland brand. Don't do that.
I know.
I'm in on Kirkland brand, dude.
I think so too.
Like if somebody's Kirkland brand something, I think they're pretty spiffy.
I would agree with you.
Pretty spiffy. What in the world?
What are you saying? So
I think they just got possessed by a ghost from the 1950s. I think that'd be pretty swell.
When I was a kid, they had a whole aisle of generic brand stuff that was all on yellow cans. Like yellow cans with like red writing.
What was it called?
It was all generic brand whatever. So like you could get generic brand green beans or generic brand like, I don't know, whatever. Like sure. All your canned
food. Didn't they used to sell beer that just had beer on it?
Yes. Okay. So it's part of the generic brand. But
got it. Okay.
Like it's where you get the bags of cereal, not the boxes. But like there was always an aisle in a grocery store of like the low end stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Now it's just called Grocery Outlet.
I love Grocery Outlet. I actually don't know if I should.
Yeah.
Shout out to all grocery stores, man. We just love, if a grocery store wants to sponsor the show.
If you'd like to sponsor the show.
Do. We buy a lot of groceries.
We're here for you.
Yeah, we do. We talked quite a bit before the show about Malik Monk, and I think we should talk about it on the show because that's our job. Malik Monk spoke with the media yesterday. We're not going to play the audio because it is NSFW.
Yep.
I think there's something to... I'm going to harken back to the 2012 Oakland Athletics for a minute.
Okay.
And I covered FanFest for a different radio station. I went down to FanFest and I got a bunch of audio. And I was sitting there in a media scrum talking to Johnny Gomes. And by sitting there, I mean talking to... I was just standing there watching the professionals work. And he said... This club reminds me of some of the playoff teams I was on in Tampa Bay.
Mm.
Like this is a good team. I feel really good about this team. And the A's weren't supposed to be good in 2012. If you think back, they were not supposed to be a good team. And Johnny Gomes said that, and I remember sitting there going, "Man, there's something about the assuredness that he said that just makes me feel really good about this year. I don't think this team is going to suck." I just remember like filing that away. It's just such a vivid memory for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, they go on their run and have the iconic game 162 against the Rangers, and they go on to the postseason. Malik Monk is a little bit giving me that vibe this year.
Yeah.
Just with the way he's carrying himself, the messing with Mike Brown stuff, like it feels like this is a... They, it feels like they're locked in a way that is meaningful and significant.
Yeah, I think that they're feeling it themselves that this is like probably the most talented team that they've ever put on the floor in Sacramento since the 2000s.
Right, in 20 years.
Yeah, exactly, in like 20 years. I'd also say this, like 2 years ago when, you know, they put this team together, and I remember we had gone out for a birthday party to a local brewery in Auburn, which shout out to Auburn. If you're a beer fan and you need a spot, there's
good beer in Auburn.
There's some absolutely phenomenal beer spots in
Moonraker's in Auburn, right?
Yep, Moonraker.
Love Moonraker.
Yeah, there's a handful of really, really good breweries, mm-hmm. right? And there was a Kings fan there, and I was sitting talking to my wife, and my wife like poked me and said, "Hey, I think he wants to talk to you." And I'm like, "Okay." So I was walking by, go grab a beer, said, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" And it was a guy who was a big Kings fan.
Yeah.
And
did he subscribe to the Kings beat?
I think he did subscribe to the Kings beat.
Good.
So either way, at that point, the Kings were, they just kicked off the season and they were 0-4 and they looked like a train wreck, right? Mm-hmm. They had like that season you thought, oh, there's a bunch of high hopes. And the guy's like, "Hey, are they going to be okay?" Because it kind of feels like, you know, things are already kind of spiraling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "No, like this team's different. This, like, I've covered this team forever. This team feels different.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be just fine."
Yeah.
They just had a couple of bad beats.
Yeah.
Early in the season. And that's where you get to that point with a team. I think that's where we are today. Like, this is a really good team. You can just see it, like, from mm-hmm. top to bottom. Like, do they need other pieces? Do we harp on the fact that they don't have the mm-hmm. length and athleticism mm-hmm. that they might need at some positions? Sure. But the fact is, this team has 10 guys that are like legitimate NBA rotational yeah. players for a playoff team.
Yeah.
And they just have a look and a feel of a team that, you know, again, we're not even that concerned whether Kevin Huerter starts or comes off the bench or whether he's ready on game one. Any other year, if your starting shooting guard from the previous two seasons was still nursing a shoulder injury, and that your rookie, that your first round pick, that's a mm-hmm. lottery pick, is going to miss, you know, half the season at least,
uh-huh.
Everyone would be like doom and gloom, like this is trouble. No, like this team mm-hmm. is too deep. They're very, very talented, and mm-hmm. not only that, but you add in they don't just have like talent across the board. They have this crazy high end talent, and so I think this team is going to be really good. And it kind of like we keep like talking to Malik Monk because, you know, he's the guy that you want to talk to, right? Mm-hmm. He's a danger zone for media relations because you don't know what he's going to say. He's a wild card. He does drop F-bombs, which, you know, I tried to warn Damian and Kenny. I sent, Damian yeah. and Jesse, I said, "Hey, there's a couple of F-bombs early on." They caught the F-bombs. They missed him, like, dropping the S-word later. And it's my bad. Like, I'm sitting here processing video as quickly as possible.
That's not on you.
Yeah. But there's a vibe to him that I think, like, it's so refreshing to see a player who goes from struggling to be in the league to, you know, like in a really bad situation in Charlotte to finding himself a little bit with the Lakers, but really he found himself as a player, but not really as a person. And then to come to Sacramento and really just blossom and be able to show his entire personality and who he is and to start finding his voice as a player where yeah. he feels like he can step up and lead. All of these things are really fun to watch play out because, like, if you've coached sports or anything else, you see players that come out of their shell and that become something much bigger mm-hmm. than anyone thought they could be because they find themselves. I mean, again, like Malik Monk was almost out of the league.
Yeah.
And he had to sign a league minimum deal. And you know how often it is in the NBA that you go from a 4-year guaranteed rookie scale deal to a league minimum deal. And then you find a way to get a 2-year $19 million deal. And then you find a way to get a 4-year $78 million deal. That story doesn't happen.
Nope.
And to see him not only find his home, but then to find his footing and his voice. And like I asked him about it yesterday. And I mean, his answer was just phenomenal. Just like, yeah, like there, a lot of players don't get this opportunity.
Yeah.
A lot of players are in the league for 4 years for their rookie scale deal and they're out. And then you never hear from them again. And it's mm-hmm. because they didn't have a team who gave them a platform, who gave them an opportunity to shine and to become themselves in the league. And we're getting to see that with Malik, and it's something that's totally crazy to watch. But like, I went back and looked at the 2017 draft, and you know, the Kings had the 10th pick. They had the 5th pick in that draft, which of course they took De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They also had the 10th pick in the draft, which instead of drafting Malik Monk at number 11 or Bam Adebayo or Donovan Mitchell, mm-hmm. they traded to 15 and 20, and then they drafted Frank Mason. So in the early second round, three of those guys are out of the league. Like Justin Jackson, maybe in the league a little bit. Harry Giles at number 20. He's in training camp.
Vaguely in the league.
Right, yeah. Now with Charlotte. But like Justin Jackson's played 64 games in the last 4 years. Frank Mason hasn't played in the league since 2021. Like, and that's not just it. Like you go to the first round, Frank Ntilikina is out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? Josh Jackson, number 4 pick in the draft, out of the league. Markelle Fultz, the number 1 pick in the draft, is not signed right now. He's out of the league.
Really?
Yes, he's out of the league. As of today, he is out of the league.
The Magic didn't retain him?
No. No, I looked yesterday because I was writing on it. Lonzo Ball, the number 2 pick in that draft, has barely played in the last 3 years.
He's starting this year, though.
There it is.
I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, and Dennis Smith Jr., the number 9 pick, is hanging on by a thread. That is the NBA. There are like 9 players drafted in the first round after Malik Monk that are not in the NBA.
Hmm.
And I mean, like Justin Patton was taken a couple of picks after him. Like there are players. And so that's what you have to like understand, that when you see a player like Keon Ellis find his footing and somehow go from an undrafted player to a two-way to making a team out of training camp to potentially starting in year 3, that's just bonkers.
Crazy.
Because you're up against the fact that there are 60 new players coming in the league every year, 30 of which have guaranteed contracts. That means that 30 players are losing their jobs and are out of the league.
Man.
And it's just this perpetual cycle. So I think there's an appreciation from Malik Monk. That's what I'm getting to. There's an understanding of how close he came to losing it all and how Sacramento, just for whatever reason, just became the perfect place for him to land at the perfect time in his career. And I think it's the reason why he was so quick to sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why he's not so concerned about whether he's starting or not. He would love to start, but it wasn't the reason why he chose to go,
right,
you know, to Orlando or to go to Detroit. Mm-hmm. The money, again, became like secondary in this whole discussion. Even the money he did take, he takes a 4-year, $78 million deal. The last year is a player option. He could have taken a 3-year deal with only 2 years guaranteed, with the last year being so he could go make more money.
Yeah,
he didn't even do that. He went for security. And I think that's something about the culture and everything that's being built here. So, yeah, while they had a step back last year and they only won 46 games versus 48, like, that doesn't mean that everything is falling apart. Like, this thing is strong, and it can hopefully last through some of these ups and downs.
No, and I think so many of the issues last year goes back to something you said at the beginning there, was I think that guys like De'Aaron and Malik and, well, Monk got hurt, obviously, but De'Aaron and Malik and Domas were kind of, you look down and you go, man, this just, because as an NBA player, you want to go out and win every game, and you have supreme confidence that you're going to be the best player on the court in your matchup in every single game and this and that. But you're also not dumb. Like, you also realistically look down your bench and go, God, like, I don't know if this is it. Like, I don't,
Yeah.
I promise. Like, it's obviously a little bit different because that's their teammates and they're good. They got to do what they can to try and figure out how to win games. But I think that some of that stuff last year was them looking and going, this team ain't it, Chief.
Yeah.
I don't, we're going to go try and win every game, but hey, we've smoked a bunch of leads and we lost some games we probably shouldn't. And then you go into this year, and now not only did they bring in a player like DeMar DeRozan, which just changes the cachet of your team, it just raises your ceiling, that by itself, your ceiling and your floor, bringing a player like that, where it's not just potential. It's not, oh, if he can do X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, man, you know what DeMar DeRozan's going to do. Mm-hmm. You know DeMar DeRozan is a really freaking good player who's done this for a long time. And with that, okay, hey, Devin Carter, once he's back, okay, we like what he brings. And, okay, Kevin Herter's now in a little bit different role, or Keon Ellis is in a little bit different role. And all of a sudden now, at the end of games or through the middle of games, as the Kings are going through their rotations, it's not like, hey, this guy probably shouldn't be on the court. Or, man, they're really missing one guy or two guys. And I think that threading that needle between continuity, but quality continuity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, the Lakers have continuity too, but in a bad way. The Lakers would have loved to adjust their roster in a lot, and they couldn't, and they didn't.
It's like depth versus quality of depth.
Yeah, right. It's just they have the same players on accident. You know, and then you have the Kings, who have this continuity, and this gets back to the Malik Monk point of all this, is like, they're establishing not only a culture on the court of what they want to be as a team, but that culture off the court, like, it matters so much. Not comparing the two players, but try and stick with me here. Like, people talk about what Steph Curry as a person does for, like, the Warriors locker room and their organizational culture. Having a player like Monk find his footing with his personality and the way he is, like, maybe I'm overselling this, but this, all the stuff that you're saying, all the videos you're posting from camp, all the stuff you're writing at the Kings beat about, like, Malik and the position he's now taken with this team, that, above all else, is giving me confidence that this team is going to be what I think they are, and that's 50-plus wins and comfortably a playoff team. Like, more than DeMar DeRozan, more than any, like, Malik Monk being that dude, again, this goes back to the Johnny Gomes thing in 2012. It's just like, you know what? Hey, I feel good going into battle with that guy.
No,
maybe I'm overselling it, but man, I just can't shake that feeling.
No, I don't think you are overselling it, because I think we always talk about this, right? That, like, the Kings have, like, if you rank their top options, right?
Mm-hmm.
And De'Aaron Fox number one, Sabonis number two. They had this moment where it's like, okay, coming into last season, I think there are four guys who are number three, four, five, six, but in no particular order. And it was Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter and Malik Monk and Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that by the end of the season, you kind of felt like, okay, we know who three and four are. Three and four are now, you know, Malik Monk and Keegan Murray in some sort of combination.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes are now five and six in some sort of combination, but they've kind of slid back and they're not part of the top four. Then when you go out and you acquire a player like DeMar DeRozan, and he instantly is your third best player.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it pushes people into a more natural, comfortable position of who they can be as players, who they should be mm-hmm. as players. And I think that not only does that work out and, like, make everybody, like, feel better about their place in the world and how comfortable they are on the court, what they need to perform and do every single night, but it also, it allows you to add ingredients that mean something different and allows guys to have voices that maybe they wouldn't have had
mm-hmm.
because now they know exactly where they are. They know who they are in the system. They know what their pecking order is. And they also know that, like, a guy like Trey Lyles totally found his voice with this team.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the seventh, eighth guy on this roster this season, but he now has, like, a huge voice with it, what's going on with the team. And he's always a quiet, introspective, like, respectful guy. But when he says words, they are forceful and,
right.
and people listen,
mm-hmm.
right? And when Malik Monk walks in the door and he starts throwing jabs and he starts doing what he does, he's trying to lighten the mood. He's bringing a different ingredient. And I would say the same thing about the way that Domantas Sabonis shows up every single day and just outworks and out-hustles and out-physicals everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The way that De'Aaron Fox comes in and just has this aura about him that he's too cool for school. And
mm-hmm.
and it's the right vibe for this team.
Mm-hmm.
He's the right player to be on this team, the leader to be on this team right now. And so it's really cool to kind of see all these pieces fall into place. And you want to see how it all works out. Like, we keep talking about, oh, they could win this amount of games. They could also, like, things could go wrong, and we don't know.
Right.
But as of right now, like, I think that there is a huge amount of of like positivity to put within this group because they have it, they exude it, mm-hmm. but also because they are very talented. Like, again, you cannot deny the talent is here. Mm-hmm. It's whether they piece it together and are able to, you know, be respectful on defense and respectable on defense.
Where does it, in that whole thing where you were talking about people's roles and De'Aaron's too cool for school and Demonis's hard hat guy, etc., where does Keegan fit into that?
Well, I think that's the most interesting thing because it's almost like a running gag now that Keegan doesn't talk and and that Keegan's so quiet. And I think, like, I've talked about this a couple of times. Like, I live in a household.
Speaking Murray.
Yeah. I live in a household with two, like, very, very introverted people.
Okay.
Like, my wife and my oldest son are complete introverts. Mm-hmm. Me and my youngest are like two peas in a pod. We're out there. We are mm-hmm. social butterflies. We're people mm-hmm. who can walk into any room and just feel comfortable and just mm-hmm. like start hanging out.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what my wife or my oldest son are at all. So I'm used to the dynamic of there being a quiet person in the room. And also, like, while you can push a quiet person to like try to, you know, sort of put themselves out there more, what you have to understand is that that can just be who they are. And it doesn't mean that they aren't successful. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they can't, you know, do whatever it is you need them to do. And I think the biggest concern that I think some people have about Keegan is you're kind of hearing it now where it's always been like, hey, we want you to, you know, to be more talkative. We want you to be more of the conversation. And I think it's more at this point that they want to make sure that he's living his best life, because there's a thing that happens in the NBA where certain players, they just become so locked in. Like, and I'll relay this to Christian McCaffrey. Like, Ed McCaffrey just talked about his son mm-hmm. and how his son is a workaholic times 10. And how he's just so over the top that he's injured himself. Like, he got married and he didn't go on a honeymoon because he had to work out more, right? And I think that there is this moment with players where, you know, the people used to harp on Marvin Bagley all the time because he is a rapper. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any problem with Marvin Bagley being a rapper. Like, these guys have to have lives outside of basketball.
No doubt.
And I think that that's where we're starting to see the Kings players start to nudge Keegan that, look, man, it can't just be about basketball mm-hmm. 365 days a year. You have to have more.
Yeah.
You have to fulfill yourself in other ways. And I believe that that's what we're seeing. We're seeing them pushing him, but it's maybe the way that they're doing it, they don't understand what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is trying to draw him out and to get him to be, to enjoy life more and to understand that, look, you're 23, 24 years old. Mm-hmm. You got millions of dollars. You need to live. You need to mm-hmm. live a little bit. And it can't just be eat, drink, and sleep basketball, because that's not how you fulfill yourself as a person.
Yeah.
And it's not the best version of you on the court. If you're just this, you need to be more than just this.
Yeah.
And so I think it's intriguing. Like, all of these things are dynamics that I love, but watching it play out in such a dramatic way with the Kings, where you have this gigantic, like bright, shiny star that is Malik Monk, that just says the F-bomb all the time, and just like everything out of his mouth is intriguing and funny and crazy. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other reserve person. Like, both of those guys are needed so badly on this team. And like, this sort of the marriage of this whole thing is really fun to watch and see how all the ingredients mix into the giant pot of chili and how they all simmer in together, but also how a guy like Malik has found himself. There we have Damian Barley, where a guy like Malik has found himself and he's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants Keegan to find himself too.
Sure.
But Keegan finding himself and Malik finding himself are two totally different.
Very different things.
Very different things. And that's, it's interesting. It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch it play out. And it's fun to watch Keegan just get very uncomfortable when he's talking about all of this stuff.
If you gave me the money an NBA rookie gets at age 21, buddy, would not be here today.
Yeah.
Does he really not do anything? Is he not vacation?
I don't know, man. I think he does. Like,
dude,
I know a little.
Catch me at the Amalfi Coast all the time.
Yeah.
If I'm Keegan Murray.
I know he does. He does have a life outside of basketball.
I would hope so, man.
But I also think that there's concern that he needs more. And it, you know, like.
Does he want to come work at a radio station?
There we go.
I don't know. Get out of his shell a little bit.
Yeah.
Have some interest outside of basketball. Yeah, we got you here. Want to talk some NFL?
It's okay to be quiet. It is. And it's okay to be noisy.
It's okay to be quiet insofar as, like, that's what who you are as a person. That can't then translate to the basketball court where you're shutting yourself out of the offense because you don't want to assert yourself.
Yeah.
And that is where that ties back for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll keep talking about Keegan. He's obviously one of the most important players for the Kings. So he will continue to be a topic of conversation throughout this year. What are the expectations like for the Kings? And I was looking across the Eastern and the Western conferences. We're gonna have a second person in for the handoff today. I was looking at across the Western and Eastern conferences, and we're gonna talk about it. I don't have a good tease for it. We're gonna talk about the rest of the West and a little bit about the East. The East stinks. That's the moral of that story. Okay, we'll be back in a second. That's James and Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.